Hello, Clippers.
You've been very subdued with the intros lately.
I don't know. I'm trying something different. I'm trying to nail something down.
That's
you
fair.
Know? What about a good morning, Clipper Nation?
Perfect. That's exactly what we need.
Get I don't like
a,
it.
Like a more like a morning show in here. Despite coming out consistently at 1 p.m. every day.
Hey, guys. It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo.
In case you didn't know, we're coming at you 5 days a week. Check us out on iTunes, the Himalaya app.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
The Himalaya app is nice, too, because if you maybe missed an episode, mm-hmm. you can just playlist them back to back.
Also, it's the new thing. Like, show your friends that you're on the new wave.
Yeah.
You're on the new new.
Get on that new new.
Come on.
What do we got for them today?
So, today we got a heck of a show lined up for you. We're going to kick things off with a pretty in-depth preview of this game against the Bucks. I had to dig pretty deep because I'm really nervous about this one.
I am too. I was looking at player weights, which I will get into. You got some good matchups. This one's going to be tough.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough win, especially on the road, but we'll see what we can do. And then today is Thursday, which means Thirsty Thursdays. We do it every single Thursday where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for.
And sometimes not thirsty for.
And then we're going to close with a segment that we're calling Absolutely Parched For.
Oh, this is like ultra thirsty.
Ultra thirsty. Where basically it's just going to be kind of breaking down the guys that are trying to break into the rotation.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about all that very important stuff for the future of the Clippers. So all that and more coming up right about now. But Charles, where do you go to watch live games?
I go to Tom's Urban. And I'll tell you where these people should go on April 7th to watch the Warriors take on the Clippers. Wait, Clippers take on the Warriors? I don't know.
Where do they go? Have I heard of it?
Tom's Urban LA Live.
Ooh.
Half off everything that pours during happy hour. They got like 50 different beers up top on the You Pour floor. We are hosting a watch party there.
I like Come this Tom's out. Urban LA Live.
Come hang out. Eat some nachos. Eat some lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah.
We'll just all eat carbs and cheese. It'll be a good time. Anyway, April 7th.
Have a few brewskis.
There'll be some specials. All right, so tonight we're playing the Bucks in Milwaukee, which of course is Algonquin for the good land.
Good land. Thank you.
Injuries. Shamet is slated to play. The impingement has been conquered.
All right.
Thankfully.
He looked great in that.
That clip. I think it was.
It was Jovan, right?
Yeah. Posted a clip of Shamet going pretty much what looked like full speed.
Yeah.
Luka Baumute is out.
No surprise there.
Bev is out, but that's because he's an empath and the soreness from Luke's knee is so bad that it has taken over Beverly. No, it's just the hit pointer. I think he's going to be fine.
I think this seems like a good game to sit him.
And also, I wouldn't be mad if they sat him on Saturday against the Cavs.
Yeah, whatever he needs.
Whatever he needs. For the Bucks,
this gets a little interesting.
The Bucks have a ton of injuries. No Dante DiVincenzo. That's a spicy basketball. No Tony Snell, no Mirotić, no Powell, no Brogdon, no problem? No, we're still going to have a big problem. Will and I were kind of talking about if the Bucks are maybe going to rest guys. Can they even rest guys with this many guys
out? I don't think so. And
like star-wise, I mean.
The other thing is it's a home game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a home game. How far ahead are they in the – let me just take a quick look at the standings. I'm not even sure how far ahead they are in the East currently.
While you're looking that up, they just beat the Rockets mm-hmm. at home. They held them to 98 points.
Unreal.
Dude, that's, I mean, no small feat.
No, so they're four full games ahead of the Raptors. So they've essentially sealed that one spot.
Pretty much. Man, it's still going to, I don't know. All right, let's get into what we need to do to win. We need to somehow figure out a way to take and make threes.
Okay. Yeah.
I say that because the Bucks rank first in defensive rating and first in margin of victory.
Mm-hmm.
But they let opponents take around 35 three-pointers a game.
Okay.
Which
what's the percentage looking like on that?
I think it's around 38 something.
Okay. That's their average opponent field goal
yeah.
percentage on threes?
Yeah. So it's like right in the middle.
I like that.
I do too. Over our last five games, we're averaging 30 three-point attempts a game with an average percentage of 33%.
Okay.
Which, that percentage isn't
some
the
of that,
best.
I mean,
skewed.
I see this as skewed because a lot of that comes from the bench.
For sure.
Whereas I think...
We had that one game where the bench shot 0%, the one game where the bench shot 18%.
Whereas I think if our starters are really can get at a high clip from three,
yeah.
That's going to be the more effective. especially just with given how hard it's going to be in the paint.
Well, that's what, yeah. And so with Shamet coming off his impingement, I think he's going to see a pretty heavy workload right off the bat because Bev is out. So we're missing a pretty knockdown three-point shooter.
A key shooter.
From the starting lineup. So we somehow just got to figure out, I mean, yeah, because the paint's going to be clogged up.
Temple, it'd be good to see another show-out game from you.
Yes, it would. From you, like he's face-to-face.
Oh, I mean, he's listening.
shout out Garrett Temple. Well, what do you got?
Man, so I was trying to look for, like, some sort of flaw in the Bucks game.
There's not a lot of them, man.
Very, very hard to find.
When you're looking at the stats, you're looking at a lot of single digits in terms of where they rank for stuff.
Yeah. So the one thing that seems like a weakness, and granted, I haven't watched every single Bucks game, so I could be missing.
Why have you not watched every single Bucks game?
But they're 25th in the league in offensive rebounding. So, but first in total rebounding, for sure. Yeah. So they're going to take away a lot of second chance opportunities from us. Like, yes, no question.
For sure.
But I think the key for us is just going to be grabbing anything else that we can.
Loose balls.
Yeah. Grabbing anything else that we can. Obviously, if they're shooting a lot of threes, they can't get another attempt. We have to grab that board.
We got to clamp down on the long offensive board, which is when you take the three and it clangs and the rebound is met out at
exactly,
like, the free throw line.
Yes, and I could see, I mean, it's going to be
Gallo's good at getting those, and so, well, Beverly's out.
It's going to be hard to not have Beverly, but I could see Gallo doing that pretty well.
For sure.
Obviously, it's going to be hard for him to kind of box out to get close rebounds or stuff right on the glass. But yeah, we just got to limit. We haven't historically been good at this, but if we can limit their second chance opportunities, I feel that that's our best way into a win.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we have to. I mean, this Bucks team ranks top five in field goal percentage, 3-point attempts, defensive rating, offensive rating, number one in rebounds, number one in points.
Yeah.
So another key is going to be an entire team effort on defense, especially from Shea.
Yes.
Who is going against Bledsoe or Sterling Brown offensively. Sterling Brown weighs 230 pounds, which is 50 pounds heavier than Shea and 40 pounds heavier than Shamet.
Yeah.
Which is something that kind of worries me.
Yeah.
Just maybe some, we'll get into it in matchups, but yeah, like mid-range, low post-up game-wise, could be a little bit of bully ball.
Very difficult. Yeah.
I like this note you have in here of getting to the damn line.
Yeah, so we got to get to the line. The Bucks are 20th in the league in free throw attempts. They're currently taking just under 23 a game.
Yeah.
And they're only making them at about a 77% clip, which it's fine.
Yeah, but not, you know,
clips are actually first in the league in free throws per game.
And percentage, right?
Yes. So we're currently taking about 29 a game.
Love it.
So yeah, like six more than the Bucks, and we're making them at an 80% clip.
We're gonna need to be at the line like 35 times in this game, I think.
I see. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like that. What else you got?
It's just forcing turnovers. The Bucks are a pretty average team in turnovers. And I could see, like, with the injuries out and kind of a little bit of shakeup in the lineup,
yeah,
that we could exploit this just because there's going to be some unfamiliarities between their guys. Yeah. And Bledsoe can get a little careless with the ball. He's a pretty solid defender. He can be pretty careless with the ball.
When he gets bogged down or in kind of a bad mental spot, he tends to force things.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you don't want forcing things, Bledsoe. So getting into what could go wrong, kind of just pop shoving off that last point about Bev being out. For that stretch against the Wolves when Bev was out, until we kind of got back on track by giving Shea the ball, looked wonky.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that's going to be so difficult.
So if we're in that realm of like frenetic energy and like, where am I supposed to pass the ball as I'm trying to pass the ball?
Yeah.
Type thing. If that happens early, plus Giannis doing his thing, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be a blowout, but we're gonna have a pretty deep hole for the bench to try and throw that dirt back into.
Yeah, definitely. Just going off like the last point, we can't really turn the ball over.
No, like once.
Like the starters, yeah, the starters can't turn the ball over basically at all. I can't think of a team that can punish you more in transition than the Bucks.
Maybe like the Kings.
Yeah, but, the Kings, that's a good one too.
But the Bucks are also sixth in pace, which I know we try and not talk about a bunch, but still sixth in pace, and you're like number one and two. And
your field goal percentage is like over 60%.
Yeah.
If we turn the ball over, they're scoring.
They're going to score, especially with no Beverly. Another thing that could go wrong, just Giannis.
Yeah.
Way back in November, when we beat this Bucks team in overtime, may have remembered, Gallo guarded Giannis for the majority of the defensive possessions. He shot 5 of 10.
I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. The other two defenders were Tobias and Mike Scott, so I'm not really sure who else is going to guard Giannis on our team.
Yeah, definitely.
Trez, maybe?
I don't even know.
I mean, he's a nightmare matchup for every single human being in the NBA, but this Clippers team especially, it's tough.
Yeah, we just don't really have the size.
Chandler?
That's interesting.
Like, the starting lineup is going to be so odd.
Yeah.
So we're kind of projecting a starting lineup of Shea, Shamet at the two.
We can talk about this a little bit more in matchups, but I actually think that they'll have kind of Garrett Temple in the two role.
Okay.
In that he'll be guard, like they're probably going to have him guard Middleton.
Okay. And then obviously Gallo and Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who guards Giannis. This game, I'm excited to watch the game, but I'm not looking forward to it. On defense, getting back to my point, Giannis held Gallo to 2 of 7 shooting, which is kind of tough. So if Giannis hits a cold shooting night and Gallo gets hot, that's great, but we basically have to try and, like, we basically have to have Gallo break even with Giannis.
Yeah.
Points-wise.
Which can happen.
Possible.
I think this is possible just because of how strong Gallo's three-point shooting is.
Yeah.
And I think Giannis is going to have trouble guarding Gallo on the perimeter.
I hope.
I really do think that.
Yeah.
I could be proven wrong, but I do think that it's going to be hard for him, especially given the load that he's going to have to carry for his team. Man, I got to stop using the word load. I'll figure something else out, guys.
It's taken over the NBA.
But, yeah, just with how much he's going to have to carry, I'll be looking up. I'll bring my thesaurus
tomorrow. We'll get that, yeah. Look at that intern to bring us that thesaurus.
But, yeah, having to close out all the time on Gallo, and defend him all the way to the perimeter, and then, you know, handle so much of the offense on the other side. I mean, you're almost the team's starting point guard.
For sure.
Essentially.
Yeah. And you're going against the strongest guy in the NBA.
Which, very hard. That's going to be a tough night. That's a tough night for anybody.
Let's get into some of these matchups you got flushed out.
All right. So, in looking at this starting lineup, once again, I'm just trying to look for the weak points. We already know that, you know, Bledsoe is really solid. We already know that Giannis can kill us in any number of ways. So I wanted to look at some of the points, like with some injuries. I think the Temple and/or Shamet versus Sterling Brown matchup could be really crucial.
Okay.
I'm guessing that they're going to hide Shamet on Brown.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Again, one more time, Brown has 40 pounds on Shamet.
Yes. Yeah. But Sterling Brown is currently averaging 5-3-1, and he has a
love it
offensive rating of 101 and a defensive rating of 104.
That's not the equation you want.
A negative 2.8 net rating.
That's
all
not
right? So anytime he's on the court, he's a net negative.
Yeah.
Shamet, on the other hand, is averaging 9-2-1 and has a plus 10.5 net rating.
Love it.
That bodes very well. Temple actually has a neutral net rating.
That sounds about right.
108 for both offense and defense. So either way, these guys gotta beat this matchup. You know what I mean?
They gotta win.
They gotta score probably at least double the amount of points that Sterling Brown can add to the board. You know what I mean?
Because
I think that, like, picking at these weaker matchups, picking at these small points, is the way that you win a game against a team with top-tier talent that is
across the board.
That is, yeah, and also the top-tier talent is, like, leagues better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then the other one in this kind of weak point, or not even a weak point, but, like, another one that's going to be...
Possibility.
Another possibility is honestly just Zoo Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And with Lopez being utilized so much on the outside, That's going to give Zubats an advantage in terms of rebounding.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to snag those defensive boards as often as he can.
Yeah.
And then also
hit his shots.
Yeah. I think
we can't have a 4-for-15 night or whatever.
Yeah.
From Zoo.
Yeah. Anyway, no, he's got to finish effectively. And that that's the other thing. I think that he needs to go at Lopez as hard as he can. Lopez has a little bit of age on him, and yeah, I don't know. Lopez is currently only snagging 1.3% of offensive rebounds. So
in terms of when it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that, most of that is due to him being used on the outside.
Yeah.
So once again, Zoo could win this rebounding battle when he's on the defensive glass. So
how do you feel about Zoo out there on the perimeter guarding him?
Not great.
Because what they're going to do is they're just going to clear out Lopez, which clears Zoo out, and then Giannis is just going to
not great
go to town.
I guess what I was thinking, and maybe this is a little kooky, but you basically run like a 4-5 zone. So you have Gallo and Zoo basically just guarding the paint.
Yeah.
And then you leave Sterling Brown open. We'll let him score as much as we want.
Let him just hang out.
And then on the perimeter, you just cover Middleton to the best of your abilities.
So a 3-2 zone.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Good thing Bev's not playing, because I think he would refuse to play a zone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this would work. It's just an idea.
We might
again,
see
when
it
you're
tonight.
Playing the best team in the league right now,
yeah,
you got to throw something out there.
What's your prediction for this game?
Honestly, so in an this is gonna sound so messed up, but in an ideal situation, I think we lose a heartbreaker on the road, 115 to 117.
I think
in worst case scenario, man, we just get blown out.
Yeah, I think we're gonna lose. I think it might be in that 8-point range. Borderline could be a blow, but we're going to fight for it. I think we might lose too.
I think we're going to fight for it.
Buck 20 to 112.
Buck 20 to 112 bucks?
Yeah.
I think.
I don't want it to happen. They're just really damn
I don't know.
Good.
With Beverly out, I'm just.
He's the engine of this team. He's the shot caller.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know.
A loss drops us to sixth.
Yeah.
Half game ahead of OKC.
Only a half game ahead of the Thunder.
Luckily, we got the Cavs on Saturday.
Yep.
Which is great.
And yeah. We have a much easier schedule than
Sunday?
The Thunder.
Memphis.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so there's some bounce-back games after that, despite being a back-to-back.
Yes.
Coming up after this, we're going to be doing some Thirsty Thursdays. But first, one more quick shout-out to Tom's Urban.
Have you heard of it?
There's over 70 big-screen TVs. Go check out March Madness, which plays again tomorrow. Too much time in between this round of games, if you ask us.
Yeah, I thought that I had missed games, because I thought that
too.
They were yesterday.
Go see some potential Clippers second-round picks in there.
Also, you know how I could avoid never missing games? Go to Tom's Urban every single day.
That's a very
it's
good point.
It's impossible to miss a game. They got 52 screens.
Check out tomsurban.com/lockedon. There's going to be specials for the event on the 7th. I think there's going to be some apps, some zerts maybe as well. One more time, that is Tom's Urban at LA Live. So welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. We're thirsty.
Thirsty.
I'm thirsty for these ticky-tacky injuries to get healed up.
Oh, man. Couldn't agree with you more.
Here's my thing with nagging injuries. I mean, all injuries are annoying, obviously, but these little tiny ones that just kind of beat at you cause you to change your technique so you don't hurt.
Yeah.
Because it's just a nagging thing.
Because it's one of those things you try to play through.
Yeah. And so you try and change your technique, or you change how you usually do things, your natural motions, and it throws you off.
What do you say? That makes it more dangerous than a serious injury?
Not at all.
I don't know.
Yeah, would you rather have NERC or an ankle impingement?
There's not a doctor in the room right now.
That's very true. It just sucks to constantly having to adjust so nothing gets re-aggravated. I just want him to get shored up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing some rest this weekend from some of these guys. What are you thirsty for?
I'm thirsty for another Temple, another solid Temple game.
That'd be great.
He had a great effort. He had a really great effort against the Timberwolves.
It was fantastic in place of Shamit.
Yeah, it was really, really solid. So I'm hoping that he can he's got his juice back.
Mm-hmm. Branching off of that, I want Wilson Chandler to get it figured out / be 100%.
Yeah. That'd be great, man.
In 8 games for the Clips, in 10 minutes, he is averaging 2-2 and less than 1 with a -2 rating. Average.
Yeah.
Where do we kind of... That is fairly... You know, his defense... He can be good defensively every now and then, which we like. But where do you want these averages to be in the play? I honestly just want, like... I don't know. 6-2-2 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, to be quite honest, yeah. If he could knock down 2 threes per game, If he could snag 4 boards,
yeah,
and maybe dish an assist.
Assists, I'm less worried about because that's like nothing we're really gonna call on him.
Yeah,
for.
But like if he could get like 6-4-1 or even just 6-4,
yeah,
I think that that's
obviously in more than 10 minutes because 6-4 in 10 minutes would be fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I think his playing time is gonna go up obviously as he kind of improves in efficiency.
Christ, erring off of that, do we see Ty in the playoffs at all, or has Chandler usurped him?
Tough to say, but I don't think we see him in the playoffs at all. We're going to talk about that more in this next segment. But
doesn't deserve that. That sucks.
It does suck. Yeah.
I'm thirsty for a big Shea game tonight.
Yeah. It'd be great. It's going to be...
And not like necessarily a triple-double or something like that, but he's had a couple performances defensively where you're just like, okay, he can fill the stat sheet defensively.
He's looked so good. How many steals do you think he could get tonight?
I want to say three.
If he got 3 steals, that could be major.
I just want to see some hands in the passing lane from everybody, I guess. I just want to see the defensive hustle turned up a bunch tonight. And I think it will because, I mean, Beverly's going to be there. He's going to be hounding these guys, rightfully so.
Yeah.
So his intensity is going to be there. I hope they're feeding off that. We didn't really talk about Trez in the game preview, but he's going to have even more of a burden, I feel like, tonight in terms of energy galvanizing.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it so much in the preview because I feel like it goes without saying, but, I mean, essentially in non-Giannis minutes, we need Lou and Trez to be doubling whatever the Milwaukee bench puts
up.
Yeah,
need to see some Jermichael Green.
Yeah.
Jermichael Green's been playing pretty good lately. He's always in the right spot, even when he's not hitting shots. Having a good
defensive
game.
Hopefully he can stay out of foul trouble.
Yes. Same with Temple.
Yeah.
But... I don't know, man. What else? Were you thirsty for anything else?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. We got kind of a deep dive.
Yeah. I'm thirsty for this weekend to be over. I want to get through these games.
Yeah?
The back-to-back just makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, that's fair.
Back-to-back against Memphis is like a team you don't really want to play a back-to-back against.
Yeah. And then we have, I mean, a hard stretch of games, man.
Yeah.
So after this weekend, we play Rockets, Lakers, Warriors, Jazz.
Yeah. That Jazz game is, I said it a couple weeks ago, but in a Thirsty Thursday segment. I'm thirsty for that game because that's going to be a really tense game.
The Jazz game.
Yes.
Yeah.
For seeding. It's going to be pretty crazy. Coming up, we got a deep dive into some new guys and like people trying to break into the rotation. But first, if you have a smart speaker, tell that thing to play podcast Locked On Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
You can connect it to the Himalaya app, which is great. You can get some episodes lined up, so you don't even have to look at your phone to switch to the next episode, which is fantastic.
And
also,
another thing, Charles, do you ever worry about the security of yourself or your home?
Constantly.
Have you ever thought about surveillance?
I wish I could.
Well, let me tell you, it's affordable now. Wyze, that's W-Y-Z-E, is the indoor camera that freaking does it all. It's packed with premium features. It allows you to see everything, man. You're going to be able to see your enemy's eyes.
I would love that. I only fire when I see the whites of their eyes.
And you can see anything from about $20.
Damn.
So we're talking 1080p full HD. That's better than my television at home.
Well, you images, have a tube TV, so of course.
I do. Images so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision. It's got two-way audio. You know, the mission is to bring amazing smart home products to everybody.
Love it.
I love it, man. Smart homes aren't just for... You know, Steve Jobs,
Bill and Melinda
anymore.
Gates.
Yeah, exactly. So you can check on your home anytime with Wyze's apps, with the Wyze app's live stream. Connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. Live stream with 8x digital zoom. They got 14 days of free cloud storage and no subscriptions.
None.
So you can watch your pets destroy your house or maybe your in-laws rearranging your stuff and not telling you about it.
That happens to me all the time.
Oh, very often.
I hate those damn in-laws.
Either way, nothing is too small for the Wyze camera to capture it. For $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360 coverage in under 3 seconds.
Damn.
Life moves fast. Your camera should, too.
That's very true.
110 degrees a second rotation speed.
Buck 10.
That's quick.
Damn.
360 degrees horizontal range, 93 degree vertical range. Man, that's got you covered.
You're good. If you miss anything right there, that burglar, I mean, they're doing their thing.
So you can patrol your room with pan scan, set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 waypoints, track the action. That's the Wyze Cam, W-Y-Z-E Cam.
And that's Wyze.com/lockedon for a special offer.
Ooh.
So welcome to Absolutely Parched.
Yeah.
The sequel?
The sequel.
To Thirsty Thursdays?
Absolutely Parched 4. It's the fourth sequel.
All right, so what do you got?
So, man, I feel like we've been saying it all along. Most weeks on Thursday, mm-hmm. we're talking about these young guys trying to break into the rotation.
Yep.
And we've reached...
Only one has really done it.
In my opinion, we've kind of reached critical mass with it.
Ooh. What does that mean?
So, with rookies, Shamet, and Shea,
yes.
already in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of vets rounding out that second unit. I don't know how we're going to develop all this talent that we have.
I think it's going to happen more next year.
So, I don't know. We'll see. So, right now, in the nipping at the heels of the rotation, we got Jonathan Motley,
mm-hmm.
Jerome Robinson, Sendarius Thornwell, Tyrone Wallace, and to a lesser extent, Delgado, who hasn't, you know, suited up and been on the bench as much as any of these other guys.
For sure.
But Motley is currently averaging 5-3 in about 8 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which is down from the 9-5-1 he was contributing in about 16 minutes in Dallas. So, like his minutes cut in half from last season.
Yeah, and his stats are pretty good for being cut in half, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, really pretty solid.
He needs to develop a jumper.
Yeah.
If he can develop either a three-point shot.
I don't know about that. That seems like maybe asking a little bit much.
I think it's partially there. Maybe not a consistent three-point shot, obviously, but something to at least help space the four.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be playing the four.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So it's that thing where he has to have some kind of shot. Sorry, continue.
And then Jerome Robinson, obviously taken right next to Shea, currently averaging 3-1 in about 9 minutes. What's really troubling is he's shooting about 33% from three.
I agree that's troubling, but I think a lot of the time it's hard because they'll just like throw him in with like 20 seconds left and be like, shoot a three.
I know. But that, to me, that's the reason why he hasn't broken into the rotation
for
yet.
Sure.
He hasn't really been able to be consistent. I think that
G-League numbers are good.
Out of all of these guys, he has the biggest opportunity to hit some sort of consistency, I think, on both ends of the floor.
For sure.
Other guys like Sin, who's currently averaging 1-1 in about 5 minutes, has a bigger upside maybe defensively.
Yeah, he gets like the spot. He gets the situational defense, I feel like.
Yeah, but then like, so he looks great when I watch him, but the numbers really aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from shooting 20% from three.
Not what he's supposed to do, though.
That's true. His offensive rating is about 82, and his defensive rating is 111.
You like to see those flipped.
Yeah. not really very solid. And last season, he was averaging 4-2-1 in 16. And this kind of breaks my heart. Like, Sin was one of my favorite to watch last year. You never really knew what was going to happen.
Oh, but you knew it was going to be fun.
But it was going to be
fun.
And
he plays absolutely hard. Last year, I think, really spoiled us with seeing these G League guys because we had to lean on them so much.
And I could maybe see Sin actually in a playoff situation.
Agreed.
As a very specialized tool.
Yeah, stop this guy.
Yeah, I think if we're going to see anybody in the playoffs, my guess is that it's going to be Sendarius.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, Tywall, I have no clue what's been happening with him in and out of this rotation. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But he's averaging 4-2-1 in a little under 10 minutes, shooting 41% from the field, 24% from three, which isn't great, but he can handle the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
Last year,
he can play defense.
We relied on him pretty heavily. He averaged 29 minutes.
That's Avery Bradley numbers.
And put up 10-4-2.
That's better than Avery Bradley.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I would like to say we'd see him in the playoffs. I just don't see it.
I don't think we see it either, and I think part of it is because of the Shamet trade.
Yeah.
Shamet looks great. Part of it is I think Jerome is a big project. I don't mean that in a bad way. I think we had those two draft picks, so they're like, let's draft a project guy.
Yeah.
Let's draft a guy we can kind of get this figured out. And then Motley and Delgado. Sind, I think, is fine. I think Sin's going to see some playoff time.
I agree.
I'm happy about.
Out of all of these guys, I think he's the one who has the least worry because Doc has relied on him for certain things. I think for these other guys, they're not going to get playing time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think
the biggest thing... If Motley plays in a playoff game, I will lose my goddamn mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love it. But I think the biggest thing any of these guys can do is, like, really put in work in the offseason.
Yeah.
And hope to be able to break into the rotation next year. I think if we do end up getting a big free agent, that once again makes it even harder. Yeah. I had talked about maybe picking up Trevor Ariza briefly on the last podcast.
But now
it's like, you know, if we add another vet, that's a one less chance for these guys to develop.
That's true. Yeah, I think next year will be a heavy develop year, which might be helped if we have another star because we can kind of be like, all right, you guys do your thing.
Yeah. So in one word, what would each one of these guys have to do to crack the starting rotation? Motley.
Jumper.
I got to say the same. Jumper or foul shooting. Rome.
That's two words. Consistency.
Yeah. I'm going to say three.
Three? All right.
Sindarius.
Nothing.
D.
He's fine.
Just
yeah.
D.
Defense.
And Tywall.
Magic? Like he's going to have to use magic?
Roll. I think he just needs to define what role he can really play on this team.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, because like, he was the focus last year.
Like
so.
The thing with Sin is he obviously doesn't have the offensive upside right now.
Guy.
But he has a defined skill that he can provide.
For sure.
So I think if Ty can find that, he can work his way into this rotation. And I guess my just last point is, could we see any of these guys in a trade, do you think?
Not Motley or Delgado because they haven't proven enough. Maybe Jerome. I think we like Sindarius a bunch.
Yeah.
Team seems to really love Sindarius.
Yeah.
Great guy. I think Motley or Jerome.
Yeah.
Actually, no, excuse me. I think Jerome or Ty, not Motley. That's probably it.
For sure.
Right.
I would think so. I would think they're going to give these guys at least another year.
Yeah, let's hope so. Guys, that wraps it up for Locked On Clippers.
Yeah, sorry to end on a bit of a down note.
Hey, sometimes, you know, not everything is sunny all the
time. I'm just so thirsty.
Despite this weather right now. If you are going to Dodgers opening day, hope you have a fantastic time. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we are going to the games on Saturday and Sunday as members of the press, so we're going to have a bunch of stuff for you guys there content-wise.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Which will be tight. Please rate and subscribe. Do whatever you got to do to give us some good press on iTunes or Spotify, whatever.
Yeah, and check out the Himalaya app, you guys.
Yes. Get your episodes locked on.
Ooh.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.